You are listening to BensTorah.com.
When you want to move a klisha malaf to the iser, because tzarech mekamo, tzarech gufo, is it only if you have to and you absolutely need it, or even if it's just more convenient, you just want to move it to tzarech mekamo, tzarech gufo? Meaning, if I have a hammer on my chair in the dining room, on the chair where I sit in the dining room, so should I move the hammer, lift it up with my hands and move it, or should I just say, well, there are three other seats that are open because the kids aren't all home, so I could sit in a different chair? Why do I have to sit in the chair at the head of the table? Or why do I have to sit in that chair? I have two couches. I want to sit on this couch. I can move it. I can move the hammer, lift it up with my hand. So sit on the other couch, for heaven's sake. Is that which is the right thing to do? So what again? For me, it's incredible because I started learning the sugya and I said, oh, Yvay, this is going to be really boring. And then you're like, who in the world is working on shoe trees and fixing shoes? And as we'll talk about in a moment. And then as I saw the poskim take the achronim and apply it to things, shailas, that it will apply it, you know, regularly in all of our homes, it's an incredible thing. It was an incredible thing for me to see. So let's start with the Gemara and Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, we have the picture, so I don't have to do any explaining. Says Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Mimala from the base. The goal, by the way, is to learn Simen Shin Ches, see if you doubt. So we're going to learn the background first, and we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch in a few minutes. But first, we'll learn the sugya. Shomtim minal me'al gabe imus, or imam. You're allowed to take the shoe. If you're a cobbler and you manufacture shoes, a shoemaker, you have the shoe fitting. The way they would make shoes is they would take the leather and they would fit it around a form that was the shape of a foot. It's called a last. Thank you.
Yes, shoe last.
A shoe last. Yeah. Thank you. That you need a daf yomi. I'm not going to share a daf yomi to know these words. So the cobbler would form the leather around the shape of a foot, as you see in the picture here. And then it would be stuck on that, the leather shoe would be stuck around this shoe last, around this form, this mold. And at some point, when he finished making a shoe, the issue was getting it off. As you can imagine, if you wanted to fit well, it wouldn't slip off so easily, because if it would slip off so easily, that means it's not going to stay on your foot so easily either. So that's the issue. How are you going to get it off the shoe that you just manufactured, off the shoe last, off this form, this mold? Shomtim minal me'al gabi imun. One Tana says, imus, imun, I'm not sure. One Tana says, you're allowed to pull the shoe off this, what should we call it? We'll call it the last. The Tani idach ein shomtim. We have a stira in braises, whether or not you're permitted to remove the shoe from this form. Says the Gemara, lo kashya. Harabi lezer harabanan. It's not a stira in braises. It's really they're going to, according to different opinions, as we will see now, to Tanav, because we have a Mishnah not regarding Hilchos Shabbos, but regarding Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara. And you'll see how Tumah V'Tahara will inform us regarding our Hilchos Shabbos. To Tanav, Minal Sha'al Gabi Imus, if you have this shoe that's on top of this form, this last, Rebbe Eliezer Mitaher, pause. What does it mean that Rebbe Eliezer Mitaher? If he says that this shoe is tahar, meaning even if you take a sheretz or something else and attach it to it, it still is tahar. What is that trying to tell you? That so long as this shoe is not removed, it's still sitting on this last, on this form, on this cobbler machine, it doesn't yet have a din kli until you remove it. Then it will get its din kli. V'chacham mitame, what does it mean if they're mitame? That means if you take a sheretz and touch it, it will become tahar. That means it is a kli, because only a kli could be mekabel tumah. So what do we have? In Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, we just uncovered a fundamental machlokas, if the shoe has a shame kli, or doesn't yet have a shame kli, while it is on the mold. Zot Rashi, imus is a forma. Does anyone know what forma means? Oh, very good. You speak old French. Defus shalav samim nahalayim. It's a mold upon which you place shoes. Rebbe Eliezer mitaher alma lav klihu. And since by taris it's not a kli, it's not going to become tameh. B'shavas nami also the taltalo. Fine. Says the Gemara, Hanichal Rava to Amar Davar Shemlach to Leiser, Bein Letzarech Gufo, Bein Letzarech Mekoma Mutter Shapir. Let's think for a second. We just said that the shoe, is it have a shame kli? Does it not have a shame kli? But forget the shoe. What about the imus, the last, the mold? That's still a kli Shemlach to Leiser. Because what do you do with it? You manufacture shoes on it. So it's a klisha malacha le'isser. So very nice, you solved the shoe problem, but what about the issue of the mold itself, the tool itself? Zogt Rashi, hanmich l'rava, dekev the klihu, according... The shoe is a kli, fine, it's a kli shem lach teleheter. V'imus nami, it's a klihu, but what kind of kli? V'af al gav de malach to de imus le'isser. Why is it a malach le'isser? Because it's l'saken min alayim. It's used to fix shoes on it. Well, that's okay, because Rava holds that metaltelin l'hai imus mishum tzorech mekomo. What does it mean that you need the place? It's not that it's sitting on your dining room chair or the couch and you want to sit down. You need the place because the shoe's on it and you need to get it. I want to put the shoe on my foot and it's in the way. So, I have to get it out of the way. So I have to pull it out. So that works according to Rava, because he says you're allowed to remove the... Yes, that's what I'm trying to point out. Yes. The makom, that's exactly what we're seeing. Makoma doesn't just mean it's sitting on the table where you want to put the plate, it's sitting on the chair where you want to put your bottom. Tzorach makoma is, I need to get something in there, but it's filled up with this mukta item. If you have, so for example, Rebbe, so let's say, do you ever pack, I mean, I don't know if you pack or your wives pack, when you're traveling on a real trip, and you want to use your space efficiently, so what do you do with your shoes? You put your shaver inside your shoe.
Or your socks.
Okay, you always put things inside your shoes, inside your sneakers, so that you maximize space.
Also, they shouldn't get crushed.
And also, so the shoes shouldn't get crushed, 100%. So let's say you put a shaver inside your shoe. It fits perfect, it's the right shape.
It is.
So, Shabbat, you forgot to take it out before Shabbat, so now you have a shaver in your shoe. So what do? So this is exactly our case. It's a klisha malach teleheter. It's in your way. It's in your way. Not that I want to use the shaver on Shabbos to scratch my back. No, that would be malach tzarech gufa. No, I need a tzarech makoma. I need to put my foot in this shoe, and there's a shaver in the way. So that's exactly what we have here. It's mutter. Okay. So now the Gemara says that everything's great now. Elul Abaye. Now we don't pass like Abaye, but let's just read what Abaye says because it's going to come back to haunt us in 10 minutes. Elul Abaye, Domer. Abaye has a funny shita. Abaye holds that a klisha malach tula iser does not have a heter as you always thought l'tzorach gufa makomo. La Abaye d'omer tzorach gufa mutter l'tzorach makomo aser. Abaye holds there's no such thing as a heter of tzorach makomo. You can't take something away because it's a klisha malach tula iser because it's in your way. Ma'ikul meimar, what are you going to say?
When you say, well, it's supposed to clash.
Meaning, how are you going to be able to remove? Yes, the shoe is going to be is not mukta. But you have to sort of pull out the... If you have two things that are very tightly together, you have to hold each of them. You have to hold one hand on the shoe, the other hand on the form, and pull them apart.
So
the shoe is a cli,
so
no problem.
You can't get the shoe across
but
the body, no?
Then how are you going to wear this
so
shoe?
You won't.
But the Mishnah said... But we're trying to explain that we have a Moroim who said that it's mutter.
It.
So if it's mutter, how is it mutter? After all, according to Abaye, kli shem lach tula iser is not mutter, it's not makoma.
It holds like the other one, but it says...
No. You're not going to have... A machlokas amoram is the same as machlokas tanaim. We have before Rabbi Eliezer Chachamim said it's a kli, and we go like Chachamim. That's in the Mishnah.
Right.
Now we go to the amoraim. How is Abaye going to explain the sheet of Chachamim in the Mishnah, in the Brisa? El Abaye, look at Rashi. Nihi nami de min olsha al gabe ha'uimus l'rabbanan kli. Yes, very nice. The shoe is a kli, and you could take the shoe out. But according to Abaye, continues Rashi, imus miha malach tula iserhu. And when you have to hold the two, you hold the shoe in one hand and the imus in the other, and you yank them apart, so you're holding the imus, which is a klisha malach tula iser, but Abaye says, you're not allowed to move it, let's rach makamu. V'zesh ashomit v'menu as haminol. This person who's pulling out the minol, ain't tzarech l'gufo shel imus, you're not using the imus for gufo, heichem taltalei. How are you allowed, according to this opinion of Abaye, who says you don't have a heter, why are you allowed to pull out the imus? Answers the Gemara with one word answer. We're talking about a case where it's loose. Now if you have a shoe that's loose on top of the imus, so all you have to do is take one hand, not two hands, one hand, hold the shoe, which is a kli, as we hold the koin tacham, and just slip it off the imus, and you're good to go. Okay, fine.
In which case, what was the problem in the first place? You're not really moving the imus.
Because until now, we were assuming that it wasn't Rafui. This is an Okimto.
But still, there's an issue, but Rafui, because the bias to say it's okay. What's the question? You're just going to pull the shoe off and leave the sitting there.
Well, the normal way that an imus is used is that it's tight.
It's tight. You need
and
two
therefore
hands.
You need two hands.
I agree. Right. I'm
one
sure
to hold this.
Exist, but go ahead. Yes, I agree. Okay.
So therefore, the Gemara had to make an okimta according to Abaye. The only way we can understand this according to Abaye is by making okimta, which is schwer, by the way. We never like making okimtas. But we have to, and we'll have to say that it's talking about Rafa. That's the only way we could allow you to remove the shoe from the imus. Because we know that Chacham say you're allowed to remove the shoe from an imus. Fine. Now, okay, we had a machlokas here. Let's sort of pull ourselves together. We had a machlokas, Rebbe Eliezer and Chachamim. What's the status of a shoe on the last on this form? How do we paskin? Of course, says the Beis Yosef, Pluksa to Rebbe Eliezer, Rabbanan v'alochik Rabbanan, desharu. Rabbanan, we paskin like Rabbanan. Rabbanan say that the shoe that's on the, this kli is considered tame, which means it is a kli. So a shoe is a kli, it's a kli. And of course, you and I know that a shoe is a baguette. So it's a klisha malach to le
heter.
And the only question we had was really about the imus, what that status would be, as far as klisha malach to le. The Rebbe Eliezer, the one who says that it's not a kli, he would hold that the shoe itself is a problem. But we hold that a shoe is not muktza. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is what we're learning today. Sif yudalad in simen shenches min al chadash, a new shoe, muta l'shamto me al hadfus. You're permitted to slip it off from the form, from the last, from that cobbler tool. Afal pish, a malach to l'isr. Even though the tool, the last, is a malach to l'isr. Why? Came with the shame kli alav. Since the last, the tool, has a shame kli, it's not just a block of metal, it's an actual tool. Mutu l'taltala l'tzorach mekomo. Because this is like Rav, we pass like Rava, that you're allowed to take a kli shem malach to l'isr and move l'tzorach mekomo. Okay, everything that we learned until now is just, you know, sort of putting things together and things that we know. And now we're going to get to the next step. That was the background. Now, I just want you to realize that sometimes you might have, I think nowadays people don't have it as often. I think, you know, maybe if you might, when you were younger, you might have remembered. There's certain kinds of shoe trees that you insert in your shoe, not just to keep your shoes straight and the leather neat and flat, but also sometimes if you have to, you know, make it a little, stretch it a little bit, like there's a little, that left pinky toe is a little tight, so if you ever, either you have it or sometimes a cobbler would have it, you go to a shoemaker, and he has like a shoe tree that has a little thing that sticks inside this, what is it called? A little bump to help push out the shoe in the exact space where he needs to. So that could be a shayla that you have on Shabbos. You had it in there for the week, and a regular shoe tree is a klisha malach to leheter. Just keeps the shoe neat and flat. But if you have something that's stretching the leather, that's already, I assume that's a malacha of some sort. I'm not sure which malacha.
Sake?
Maybe makabe patish. Sake is not a malacha. Makabapatish, I don't think it's ma'abid. Ma'abid is with chemicals. I'm not sure exactly which malacha, but maybe it's makabapatish, maybe not, I don't know. Let's assume it's a malacha to stretch out your shoe to fit it properly, let's assume. Maybe I'm wrong. So that would be the same case as this. So now we know the halacha of what shoe trees, even if the shoe tree has a bump, to stretch it out. But now we're going to get to some really important things that are nogea to the universal halachas of Moksa. So let's go through this taz. This taz is going to make 3 points. And the first 2 points are local to talk about this shoe issue, and then we're going to get into a broader issue. Says the Taz in Simen Shinches, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, on this halacha of the shoe, came into shame kli alav. The Taz just explains, Peiros, hatfus hu kli shem alach to l'isr, but it's shari l'tzarech mekamo. Good. V'ha denakat min al chadash. Okay, we could skip the next line. We don't need that for right now. Vinira, turn the page, please. Vinira, it seems to me, says the Taz, Dimhaya Rafui, let's say the shoe is loose, right? We paskin that even if the shoe is tight, you're allowed to take one hand on the shoe, the other hand on the klisha malach to l'isr, and yank them apart. But let's say it is loose. Now, if it is loose, what do you need to do? You only need to slip off the shoe. You don't need to touch the other part. But are you allowed to if it's a little more convenient? If you have a shoe that's loose, you only need to pull off the shoe, and you could get away with that, but it is sometimes a little more convenient to use it, you know, to have two hands on it, one on the shoe and pull out the last. It's loose, you could pull out the shoe without moving the last, without gripping or holding onto that kli.
Just holding the kli is not probably mukta. It's moving the kli. If you just hold your hand on the latch,
let's assume it's a small thing. As you see, it's not such a gigantic thing. It's going to move. Let's assume it's going to move. You're right. There's no answer to touch mukta or hold mukta.
Touch is mukta if you don't need to do it.
That is correct. Exactly. He's asking, is the heter of tilta klishim lachtul isla tzarech makomo, is that heter mutter only if you need to do it? Or only if you, or even if it's a little easier?
I think this misleading is a problem. It could be just something inserted into the shoe and there's no handle, nothing. If you look at a picture of glass.
Oh, you're saying sometimes it could be.
People look at this and say, well, we just pull it off. But the answer is the thing could be just stuck inside.
There might not be a
left
stick coming out of the shoe.
Right.
Could be. Okay, depends. Right. So it says. That's our question. Exactly. That's the question. What's the definition of a tzorah?
So last is just a little thing like that that you stick in, like you do when you're trying to stretch it.
Okay.
Right.
Fine. So that's exactly the question. What is the tzorah? If it's if the shoe is roughly, it's not tightly affixed, adhering to this last tool, could I just slip it off? Do I have to just slip it off? Or could I indeed put both hands on, one hand on the shoe and one hand on this thing, even if I don't really need to put one hand on the klishim lachtelis? Venera, paskins the taz. Dimoya rafui. If it's loose, ain't sarach. You know, we're not going to be machmir on you and say you could only touch the shoe. Ain't so shiishmot hamin al mimenu. I'm not going to say you have, since it's loose and you could pull the shoe off easily, then you have to be pulling only the shoe. Ella, if you choose, you could also pull out the thing from inside of the shoe. Ella, it's also mutter notel hatfus min hamin al. And he brings a rye from somewhere else. So why is it saying here in the Shulchan Aruch that the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, if you look back at the beginning of the Sif, it says you're allowed to pull the shoe off the tool? That's just El Dekan, Shemaya B'chadash. It's talking about a case where it's not roughly, where it's a new, brand new shoe that's still tightly affixed to this tool. Therefore, you can't pull it off unless you pull touch both, but really... you have to pull the shoe off. But really, halachal ma'is, the taz is being makel. The taz is saying, even if it's loose, if you and you could just pull the shoe off, if you want to, I permit you to also pull the last out of the shoe. You don't have to use your left hand to pull the shoe off the last. You could use your right hand to pull the last out of the minnow. So what did we just see? We just saw an incredible kula of the Taz that applies to all of Hilchos Mukta. And that is, when I have a klisha malachtel iser that I don't need to move, because I could, I have a heter to move it, because it's a tzorach makom, I need its place, but for whatever reason, it's more convenient for me, or I don't, you know, I don't really need to move it, but I want to move it, or it's just more convenient to me, I'm allowed to move it. I'm allowed to move, even if I could get away otherwise. Now, so let's come back to our case. So you have that hammer on your dining room chair where you like to sit, or the kitchen chair. There are six chairs around your kitchen table, and there's one that you like, but there's a hammer on it. So if you're from, does that mean on Shabbos you're going to sit in the other five chairs? No. According to this Chaz, this is the chair that I like, and it's me and nobody else eating, drinking my coffee before Shachar. Everybody else is sleeping Shabbos morning because you dine at the early minyan, and your wife comes at 9, and you go at 7:30. So then you'll take that hammer with your hand, lift it up, and move it out of the way. Why should I sit on the other five chairs when I can't sit when I could sit on my chair that I like? It's not a real tzorech, but it is a klisha matulis. So the tzorech makama, and this is makama, fine, mutter. Now, comes the Eli Rabba, and he says, not so fast. The Eli Rabba quotes the Taz, which we just read, and he says, v'tzorechiyun. Haperish Rashi. If you remember, the Gemara had that second piece of the Gemara. We had that second part of the Gemara where it talked about, according to the opinion of Abaye, who says you're not allowed to move something with Tzorech Mekomo, a Klishim Lachtel Isla Tzorech Mekomo, so we had to say, it's talking about that it's loose, you're just slipping it off. Rashi there said, Shu Rafoi Haminol Mishmat Me'elav, if it's loose, then the shoe could be slipped off, Ve'ein Tzorech L'taltel Ha'imam. Ha'imos, Ha'imam. That's what Rashi said. So, if it's true that it's loose, so why should you be pulling it off? Why should you be pulling the mukta tool out? If it's tzarech l'makomo, the mutter, that which we say tzarech l'makomo is mutter, efshir, that's pa, I would think. He's not bringing a proof. He's just sort of wondering out loud. He's just pointing out that Misvara, if you don't need to move the Muktzah, so why are you moving the Muktzah? If you have something that's loose, you have a last, you have inside the shoe, and it's loose, you can pull the shoe off. Why should you, instead of pulling the shoe off, the Heter Gomer, why instead do we allow you to pull the Muktzah out, which is an Isra of Muktzah, a Klisha Malachtel Isra, the Tzarech Mekom? Why should we allow you to do that if that's not a Tzarech? It's not a Tzarech. What does a Tzarech mean? Says the Eliyahu Rav, a Tzarech means you need it. I mean, you can't have it, you can't do without it.
It's not
you can't do without it. So Chazal gave us a Heter of Mitzarech Mekom, Tzarech Gufo. But if I don't need to move the Muktzah item, I could just take the slip the shoe off. So just slip the shoe off. If you could sit on any one of the other five chairs around your dinette table, why should you bedavka sit on the chair that has the hammer on it? That's Eliyahu Rav's question. And then he quotes a Drisha, who's earlier in the 1600s, I believe. The Drisha is the commentary on the Torah. V'zelashono, lo hitiru ela mashu letzorech. The Drisha is talking about our case of the shoe. And he says, only if it's letzorech, tahinu letaltel hatfus, agav haminhal, to pull the tfus out of the minhal, meaning to pull that imum out of the shoe, v'shas hashmatz haminhal mimenu, aval bat stam liga v'likach hatfus, efshar da'asur hov efshar zulasa. But if you want to, if you could get away with just taking off the shoe, you should. You shouldn't take the tefus out. So what we have, Rebbe Ose, is a raging machlokas taz against the Eliyahu Rabbah about our question. Are you allowed to move a klisha malach tel isu, tzarech makom, tzarech gufo, if it's just a little bit more convenient or you want to, but you don't need to? Could you move that hammer off the chair if you could just sit in a different chair? Taz says, sure, it's tzarech makomo. And the Eliyahu Rabbah says, Misvara, why should you be able to move it? It's not a tzarech. Comes the Chazon Ish, and he raises a great question, a different question. We'll see if it's the same or a different question. The Chazon Ish says, Rabbi Osai, let's go back to the chair, the dining room chair, the kitchen chair with a hammer on it. What could I do? I have two possibilities. I could either take my hand and lift the hammer up and remove the hammer, or why can't I just
shake the chair?
Do we see anywhere in the poskim that I should shake the chair?
No.
You're right. If you break the tile, we don't have this shaila. It's on the rug.
You have a carpet. Yeah.
You have a carpet. So that's the Chazanish's question. Let's see what does the Chazanish say. Do you have a heter to lift up the? Will we allow this heter of klishim lachta leisur? The tzarech makoma. Does that heter go so far as to say lift it up, or lift it up when you can't do a more lenient getting rid of the hammer by just knocking over the chair, not you know, tilting the chair? Says the Chazanish. Remember, the Chazanish is machmir number one. Even though it's possible to tilt the chair and knock off the hammer, lo matzina. We have not found such a chumra. I never found, says the Chazanish, and if he didn't find it, I'm definitely
not.
Don't look for it.
He says, I never saw that if something's mutter, if something could be tilted or shaken off, that you have to do that and not move it. I never saw such a thing. The Chazanish is coming out to say, again, this isn't really our question. Our question was, I could move it or I could move something else. And the Chazon Ish is saying a different question. Also talking about klishim lachtel iser when it's not a real tzorech, but he's talking about nir. And the Chazon Ish says, if I could do nir,
you don't have to do nir.
I could just as mutterly, I could just as permissibly lift up the hammer from the chair and I don't have to tilt the chair. Now does that mean that he holds like the Taz that we learned just 2 minutes ago, who says that you're allowed to, that it's equally permitted to pull the shoe off, just like it's permitted to pull the shoe off the last, I could just as equally pull the last out of the shoe? Is that what the Chazon Ish is saying? Is he taking sides? Is this Chazon Ish going against the Eliyahu Rabbah? Meaning the Eliyahu Rabbah says you're not allowed to pull if it's loosely, if the shoe is loosely affixed to the last, you're not allowed to take out the mold inside, because it's Muktzah when you could. I know it's Makom, but I don't need to. Just pick off the shoe. And here the Chazon Ish says, no, I'm allowed to. The Chazon Ish says, I'm allowed to move something with Tzarech Makom, and I don't have to shake it off. Is the Chazon Ish really talking about our question? Are they the same question? Come to Shuas Yitzchak, who actually pointed out the Chazon Ish to me. Shuas Yitzchak is a Yitzchak Grazi, or Drazi, who has, Kanai Nahara, 19 Svarim, all on different topics in Halacha. So he has a whole sefer just on Hilchos Muktzah. He has a whole sefer just on Hilchos Mikrogal, the Halachos of microwave, And he's a very lumdisha sefer. It's not like one of these fly-by-night. A real lumdisha sefer. He was very close to Rebbe Yashiv. He has a sefer, on like Amir al-Nachri. He has 19 different svar. One of them is the cutest one is Halachas Mikrogal, Halachas of a Microwave. 300-page sefer on nothing but Halachas of a Microwave. Okay, incredible. So says the Shris Yitzchak, Nira, he's talking about the Chazanish, the Einzah Cholik Ala Eli Rabbah now. This Chazanish who says, you're allowed to lift up the hammer, you don't have to tilt the chair on the floor, he might agree to the Eli Rabbah. When the Eli Rabbah says, don't pull out the tool from inside the shoe, only to pull the shoe. It could be that he'll agree. Let's look at this. Delo Asra HaEli Rabbah, when did the Eli Rabbah say you're not allowed to pull the last out of the shoe, rather you have to pull the shoe off the last? If you could not touch the last at all, you don't have to move the mitzvah, you don't have to cause the mukzah to move whatsoever, you could just touch the shoe, that's when the Eli Rabbah said, so just touch the shoe. But if anyway I'm going to be moving the mukzah, I'm moving the mukzah either the hammer, either with my hand or with shaking. The tilting of the chair, either way that's moving the mukzah. So that's where the Chazanish says, once you move the mukzah anyway, even though you could do it with shaking the chair, no, the Chazanish says you could just for the same price, you're moving it anyway. So instead of moving it by shaking the chair, you can move it by lifting it off the chair. That's what the Chazanish was telling you. But the Chazanish might agree, says the Shos Yitzchak, he might agree to the Chumrah of the Eli Rabbah that you would not be able to take the imus out of the shoe. Because there, you don't have to touch any mukzah at all. You could just slip off the shoe. So again, what are we saying? We have a Chazanish who seems to be mekel that I could not tilt the chair to knock off the hammer from the chair. And Shlosh Yitzchak is saying it's possible. He's not saying it necessarily has to be like this. But he's just pointing out that it could be the Chazanish who allows you to tilt the chair might still say it's usher to take the kli out of the shoe, because if you take the kli out of the shoe, you are doing something that you don't have to touch any mukzah at all. You could just hold the shoe. Now you're taking something mukzah, don't do that. The reason why he says you could tilt the chair is because, you could lift off the hammer from the chair is because by the chair it's unavoidable that you're going to have to be moving the mukzah somehow, either by tilting the chair or by lifting it up. So the Chazanish says, whatever you want, you could lift it up with your hands, you don't have to tilt the chair. But it could be that he would agree, again, Zalam de Shasara, a simple balabas like me might disagree, might say, no, the Chazanish says that when you have a klisha malachta le'isr, if there's something in your way, and it's l'tzorach makom, you can move it. And that's why you don't have to shake it, and equally, you shouldn't have to, you could take the kli outside of the shoe if you want it. Okay, that's just, that was just some icing on the cake.
How does that, fit in with the question of, I have six chairs, I like to sit in this chair, so don't like to sit in this chair.
I think that's really what we're asking.
One chair, you have five other chairs, you can sit on.
So according to the Taz, everything, there's no iser in moving. It is Tzorach Makom, because I do want the place. No one tells me that I have to, change where I want to sit.
What would he say?
He would say that there's still the machlok is Taz and Eli Rabbah. He's not taking a position on that. He's just trying to point out that the Chazanish, regarding tilting the chair, doesn't necessarily inform you about the machlokas. The Chazanish could go either way. He's not taking a position in the machlokas, the Taz and the Rabbah, if you're allowed to. He's just talking about shaking. But if you want to move it with your hand, that's machlokas, Taz and Eli Rabbah. If there's no real tzorech, if you get away without it, that's going to still be machlokas, Taz and Eli Rabbah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah talks about something a little bit different. Not exactly our case, but look at what the Mishnah Berurah talks about. Now, this is all the way in the beginning of the Siman when we are introduced to the concept of a klisha malach tel iser, and the Shulchan Aruch says that a klisha malach tel iser we hold is motah tzarach gufa mekamazat Mishnah Berurah. When do you have the heter tzarach gufa? Myri she'en lo kli heter letashmish zeh. Ooh. I want to scratch my back. And I'm sitting at a dining room table where there's a fork. And there's also a pencil.
I have to use a fork.
I want to scratch my back. Am I allowed to take the pencil? Says the Mishnah Berurah, if you have a fork sitting right there, you can't take the pencil to scratch your back. Use the fork. What does that mean? Stop right there. Is the Mishnah Berurah telling me that the head is... I'm using it, it's a rukufa, right? I'm using it to scratch my back. And yet he's saying, don't use the pencil.
He's more machmir.
Ooh, he's being machmir, isn't he? He's being machmir. Look at this. Myrsh ain't kli heter letashmish zed dim lo in lavachi ain't lo hishtamish. But he said, don't, if you have a fork here to scratch your back, don't use a pencil. So you see, the Mishnah Berurah is saying that if there's no, when do you have the heter tzarach makom or gufo? When you need it. If there's right, if you actually need to do it,
you have another
and you can't
option,
get the same goal without it.
If you have another option.
If you have another option, don't. Right. So now, Rabbi Kanner, is that going to mean that the other chair is just like the other chair when it comes to the tzarach makom? I like this chair, but I can sit on a different chair. It's not my regular chair. There's no real difference, but this is what I'm used to. This is where the Tati sits.
Sounds like Mishnah Berurah would say it's awesome.
So maybe he would say that, or maybe he would say that's... maybe. I'm not sure. We're not going to go into where that comes from, the Shaar HaTzion. But what are the parameters? I'm going to finish with this point. What are the parameters of... Let me ask you a question. Let's say I want to scratch my back and there's a pencil on the table, but the fork is in the kitchen. It's not on the table. So do I have to say, I could use the pencil, but if I really want to scratch my back, I could just go to the next room, go to the kitchen, go to the dish, you know, the cutlery drawer, and take the fork and scratch my back with that. Zachter Moshe Feinstein, quoted in the Sefer Tultulei Shabbos, which is Rabbi Bodner's English book, which has in the back all the shilas that he asked from Moshe. But this is a quote. I just had the picture. I had the Shlis Yitzchak open, so I just cut and pasted from there. Hagor Moshe finds in Kosev B'Tshuva B'Seir Shuv Tultulei Shabbos. That's Rabbi Bodner, the English book. Denira De'ein L'Tshuach Harbei B'Hasagas Kli Heter. You don't have to really go out of your way. If you have a pencil here, you don't have to go to the other. You don't have to, you know, be matriach to get something that's
not there. Harbei.
Hold on. Virakim nimtza b'kirat makom b'li tircha rabba. If it's nearby and you could just for this easily take a kli heter, right? Why should I scratch my back with this if I could use, I have a tissue box right here. Why should I use a mukta item if I could use something mutter? It's right here. Im yedan yeshal shamish b'kli heter b'lo b'kli shemach lister. Oh, so now, what about, let's say, you could get something easily. Maybe I didn't give a great example with the go to the next room to get a fork from the drawer. What if I could easily get something to scratch my back? Right now I have a pencil. What if I know my next door neighbor has a back scratcher. He has a back scratcher. So should I, it's not really hard, just walk next door, knock on the door. Can I borrow your back scratcher? So is that a tirch? Is it not? Mistaber, again, this is not remotion. This is the Shlis Yitzchak commenting. Even if you could borrow from somebody, I don't think you have to. Mutter b'klihayis. I could use the pencil. He's making a diak in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah didn't say she'ein yochel lahasi, he can't get one. He just said that he doesn't have one. It sounds like as long as you don't have it, that's mutter, even if you could get one. Interesting. So how are we coming out halacha l'maisa? I'm not really sure, to be honest. What I do realize is that there are two opinions that much. So you always have something on whom to rely. You always have somebody to rely on as far as using a klisha malach to le'iser if you need a letzrach makom letzrach gufa and you have some other option. It sounds from the Mishnah Berurah that if there's something just for the same price, there are two chairs that you like to sit on. You like to sit on chair A or B. I'm not saying the other chairs. You have two chairs that you like to sit on. So don't do the one that has the hammer on it. Do the one that doesn't have the hammer on it. If there's one chair that you like to sit on and has a hammer, you could say, oh, but you could just sit on another one. I'm not sure if you have to be machmir.
If it's your makom as a head of the
right,
table.
Right, if it's certainly at the head of the table, the dining table, I think you could
certainly
be makom. If you're just drinking coffee at breakfast before you go to shul, I'm not positive.
I'm not saying one.
But as far as I happen to think, it could be the Chazon Ish might be makom. Even though the Shul Tzitzik said that the Chazon Ish isn't really informing us, the simple reading of the Chazon Ish is that the Chazon Ish is being makom. That you would be able to move the if something's in your way, even though there's a way to move just the klisha malach to le'itzer, you could also if you want to again get to your shoe, you could take the shoe and spill out the shaver. I think it would be just as much to take the shaver and lift out the shaver with your hands.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.